From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We're delighted that you have joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As he proceeds with this study of the Book of Romans, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message entitled, Perverting the Privileges of God's Grace. In verses 17 through 29 of Romans chapter 2, the Apostle Paul explains the privileges enjoyed by the people of Israel. Yet, Paul also shows how Israel abused those privileges, for they came to regard outward religious observance as equal with acceptance by God, ignoring the righteousness which alone could give them a right standing before God, the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Although they knew the truth of God in their heads, they had no heart experience of Christ, without which no man can be saved. As Paul wrote in Romans 10, verse 9, With the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Mere intellectual assent to the gospel is not enough. Dr. Cairns will continue this message shortly. First, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought from Faith's Checkbook, a collection by C.H. Spurgeon. Today's devotional is entitled, Sustained by Feeding. The text is John chapter 6 and verse 57. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. We live by virtue of our union with the Son of God. As God-man mediator, the Lord Jesus lives by the self-existent Father who has sent him. And in the same manner, we live by the Savior who has quickened us. He who is the source of our life is also the sustenance of it. Living is sustained by feeding. We must support the spiritual life by spiritual food, and that spiritual food is the Lord Jesus. Not his life, or death, or offices, or work, or word alone, but himself, as including all these. On Jesus himself we feed. This is set forth to us in the Lord's Supper, but it is actually enjoyed by us when we meditate upon our Lord, believe in him with appropriating faith, take him into our lives by love, and assimilate him by the power of the inner life. We know what it is to feed on Jesus, but we cannot speak it or write it. Our wisest course is to practice it, and to do so more and more. We are entreated to eat abundantly, and it will be to our infinite profit to do so when Jesus is our meat and our drink. Lord, I thank Thee that this, which is a necessity of my new life, is also its greatest delight. So, I do at this hour feed on Thee.
My Jesus fair was pierced by thorns, by thorns grown from the fall. Thus he who gave the curse was torn, true end that curse for all. My Jesus meek was scorned by men, by men in blasphemy. Father, forgive their senseless sin.
From time to time here on Let the Bible Speak, we've called attention to Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions. These include such issues as, what is the gospel? Why did Christ have to be virgin-born? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? What's wrong with same-sex marriage? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. As we've mentioned, all of these video clips have been available on the ltbsradio.com website. Now we're pleased to make available a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy of Q&A with Alan Cairns free of charge simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD of Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email ltbs@freepress.org. That's ltbs@freepress.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Finally, if you wish, you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day.
That faith is counted for righteousness, ask yourself the question, whose righteousness? Whose righteousness is counted to me through faith? What is it? Romans chapter 5, 17, 18, 19. It is the obedience and righteousness of Jesus Christ. Not only in the atonement made in his death, but in the obedience rendered throughout his life. Thank God tonight, the law of God makes it clear what his standard is. But beside that law, he brought in the ceremonial law of whereby he pointed forward to Christ, showing indeed his way of providing a perfect righteousness and reconciliation for those who trust in the blood of the Lamb. That's the will of God. The will of God is that sinners, instead of papering over the vile leprosy of their sin with their own self-righteousness, would confess their sin and trust in the atoning sacrifice of God's appointed Lamb. That's the will of God. And then his will is that those who profess his name should obey his law. And that's as true in the New Testament as the Old. In the New Testament, quoting the Old, we are told that when he saves us, in fact, this is a definition of regeneration, he writes his law in our hearts. I can never understand how people hold that once you're regenerated, you're free from all duty to fulfill by personal obedience the law of God, when God actually defines regeneration as his inscribing the law upon the fleshy tables of our hearts. This is the will of God, says Paul, even your sanctification. So the Jews knew God's will. When you come, listen to the word of God, you gain a knowledge of the will of God. As the result, Paul says to the Jews, you're able to approve things that are more excellent. There's a little discussion among linguists and commentators as to the full meaning of that. Obviously, there's the meaning that our translators give it. You have such a knowledge of God's law, you have such a knowledge of what is right and what is good, that you can approve the things that are excellent. But there is, in the language of Paul, the idea of discriminating. Being able to look at complex moral and spiritual situations and discriminate. Not only between right and wrong, but what is more excellent. You can draw lines of distinction, lines of differentiation on the basis of the truth of God. Why? Because you have been instructed out of his law. Now let me pull all that together. You would think if I talk to a person, say, you know the true and living God, and you do not worship idols, you have a knowledge of God's will through the study of God's word, you approve things that are excellent, and you can discriminate on the basis of what you know from Scripture. You're instructed out of God's book. You would think I was describing a Christian. And of course I may be, for that is true of every Christian. But here's the awful searching truth. Paul addressed this to people who were lost. Here are the privileges then that come with association with the visible church. Now let me look for a moment at the perversion of those privileges by many people so associated with the church. Notice what Paul says, verse 17, you're called a Jew. The first perversion of these privileges of the gospel is bearing the name of God's people without the nature. You're called a Jew. The word Jew, in many people's estimation, is a name of disparagement. I must say, if there's one thing I detest and hate, and I realize those words mean much the same thing, but I'll go on and add more if you want. It's the anti-Semitism that even sometimes, sadly, and I can't understand how and why, is able to masquerade under the name of the gospel and under the name of Christianity. How a man can be a Christian and a hater of Jews, indeed how a man can be a Christian and be a hater, period, is something I can't understand. How you can be in fellowship with the God of love and be full of hatred is a conundrum that I have never been able to work out. In fact, I would say you'll either have to get rid of your hatred and get right with God or go to hell with your hatred. And that's being very blunt. This word Jew is not a word of disparagement. It's not a word to despise. It's a word with an honorable history. Many believe that it is, as far as its etymology goes, connected with the idea of Judah. That it has the idea of praise to God. Be that as it may, this was certainly an honorable calling. You are called a Jew. You bear the name of a Jew. If I ask you what you are, you'll say, I'm a Jew. It's the name of God's people. But look at you. And there's nothing whatsoever about you to indicate that there's anything of the nature of a child of God. As he says, verse 28, he's not a Jew which is one outwardly. There's nothing in the heart to correspond with the name. Now, I want to stop right there. I'm not speaking to Jews tonight, but I am speaking to people who have been brought up in association with the visible Church of Christ. I'm speaking to people who from their earliest days have had all these privileges that I have been mentioning from the Word of God. And if anybody asks you, what are you? You'll say, I'm a Christian. Now I want to ask you tonight, is it true of any of you that you have the name, but nothing of the nature of a child of God? That's what we're probing. Being called a Jew doesn't save anybody. Being called a Christian doesn't make that person a Christian. Follow this through this passage. Paul is speaking to these people about their perversion of these privileges. He's saying, you have possession of the law. Sure. But where's the performance of it? He emphasized in the passage we were dealing with last week that they were hearers of the law, but they were not doers. They had lip service, but they did not have life service. They had head knowledge, but they had no heart experience of the things of which they spoke. Again, I want us to lift it out of first century Jewry into 21st century Christianity. Are you here tonight with a head knowledge but without any heart involvement with Jesus Christ? I find Christians, in fact, I've never found a true Christian of whom this is not true. Christians lamenting that their heart is not what they want it to be and where they want it to be. Oh, for grace to love him more. That is the cry of a Christian's heart. And I am not here tonight to cause Christians who already yearn for a heart that burns more for Christ to doubt salvation because their heart is not perfect. But I find that there are many in the church, let me take a step aside here when I say many. When I hear the pastor of one of the largest churches in the world saying that he reckoned in his all supposedly born again membership of the church, he reckoned that 85% or more of them were still in their sins. You see why I say many in the church. Have no heart at all. No yearning. No love for Jesus Christ. And when I say if you have no heart for Christ, you're not saved, I am not introducing some new doctrine. The Apostle Paul said to a professing bunch of believers, or a bunch of professing believers, he said, 1 Corinthians 16, he says, if any man love not our Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. And it's easy for us to say anathema means cursed. Oh, it does. But the idea comes from the Old Testament sacrificial system, and it paints an awful picture. It means that which is devoted to God for the burning fire of His wrath. If any man knows not the Bible, it doesn't say that. It doesn't take a lot of knowledge to become a Christian. Don't misunderstand that statement or run the wrong way with it. I'm simply saying that people can get saved having heard the basics of the gospel even once. So it's not he who does not have a great knowledge, he who cannot find his way through Calvin's Institutes, he who, you can go down the line, doesn't say any of those things. What it says is, if you love not the Lord Jesus, you may have a head knowledge, you may possess the law, but you've perverted the privilege to your own destruction.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.